Thank you for listening to the Dothan First podcast. We hope you enjoy today's inspiring message.
Grab your copy of God's Word. Say this with me. Say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word said I can do. And I can become all that God said I could be. So today, I'll hear God's Word. I'll receive God's Word. And I will obey God's Word because I love His Word. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I felt that way at times in my life. I just have felt that way. I want to welcome those who are joining online with us. Come on, give it up for all the online watchers. We love you. God bless you. And so grateful we get to minister beyond the walls of this church. And that's always been the heartbeat of this church, is to be able to reach out to any place we could with the gospel message and partner with churches and with ministries and missions around the world. Now, I will say I did hear a story one time about a couple that was both 60 years of age, ripe age of 60. And they happened to be celebrating their anniversary, and they had an angelic visitation. Now, I'm just going to set this up. This is a joke, okay? This is a joke. I'm setting you up. I'm just telling you. They had this angelic visitation. And the angel said, on this anniversary, both of you being 60 years of age, I'm going to give each of you one wish. I will grant you one wish. And the wife, without even batting an eye, said, I've always wanted to travel around the world with my husband. And poof, there was instantly two tickets in her hands to travel all the way around the world. And the husband just kind of hung his head. And he said, I wish I had a wife that was 30 years younger. And poof, he turned 90 years old, just like that. Be careful. Be careful what you wish for. We're talking about this series called Rescue. And in this series, we've been specifically talking about how to manage life's challenges, learning to trust God in the most difficult of times. For some of you, it was grief and loss. For others of you, it was the transition of having a new baby, or it's the transition of sending your kids off to college, or the transition of moving to a new city. Whatever it is that you're walking through, you're going to face challenges. And those challenges need to be met with something called faith. It's a simple term, but it's a term used throughout the scriptures to identify the difference between someone who is a believer and someone who is an unbeliever. See, that's really what faith is belief. You have a belief in God that He can do all things. And I want to turn your attention to a particular passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, that gives you a little picture of what David was going through and how he managed his way through, determining in himself he would still trust God. Look at this, Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in God at a few times when everything's going right. Is that what it says? No, how many understand that's not only is that not what it says, but it's the exact opposite. It's at all times. You know, I looked that word up in the Hebrew and actually in the New Testament when you see it. You know what that word means? It means all. It's very simple. That no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, that at some point in your journey, you're going to have a conversation with God about that word, that three-letter word, all. At all times. Trust in God at all times. Tell Him all your troubles, for He is our refuge. But here's the question I want to wrestle with today, because everybody's faced this at one point or another in their life. What do you do when you don't feel like trusting God? We're about to send Pastors Bart and Lauren out into a mission field here in the United States, in Missouri City, Texas. And one of the biggest challenges that any minister faces, but especially a church planter might face, is what do you do when you don't feel like trusting? What do you do when things don't go exactly the way you had mapped out or planned? How do you manage yourself to trust God in the middle of change. Well, let me just deal with something that for you that are maybe new believers, you're going to come to grips with something that most of us that have been around the faith in Christ for a long time, what we've experienced, you'll deal with it 1,000 times. It's the difference between faith and feelings. And it happens all the time. You wake up in the morning and you don't feel like trusting. You go through a problem, a crisis, a trial, an issue, a sickness, whatever it might be, the challenges of living in a broken world because of sin. Sin's entrance into this world made this place broken. And we are flawed human beings that are also broken. One day in heaven, we will be renewed, we'll be made new. But until that point, we're still broken, living in a broken world. So what do you do when you don't feel like trusting God? Here's a few ways I want to take you through that are real practical applications for this. One of the scriptures that I've come across and used probably more often than any other scripture passage in all of the Bible, because it's really the vision and mission of this church, is in Mark chapter 12. Now in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it outlines what we should do in the process of learning how to trust God and loving Him at all times. Let me stop and say this very quickly. Jesus, in this passage, has been asked by a teacher of the law. They want to know what's the most important commandment to follow. The biggest, the best, out of all the commands in all the Bible. And Jesus answers them, and he says this. He said, all the law and the prophets, that's basically the equivalent of their Bible at that time, because that's the equivalent of the Old Testament, all that they had studied. He said, all the law and the prophets hang or balance on this one command. Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart. And with all your what? Soul. And with all your what? And with all your what? Strength. That's right. Four significant areas that you need to build your faith when you don't feel like trusting God. First one is this, set your heart, write this in if you've got notes, you're taking notes, set your heart on God's love for you. You realize, and you have to realize, God still loves me. Even though I'm walking through pain, even though I'm living in a sin-sick world that's broken, God still loves me. Even though things aren't going my way, even though I prayed about something and it didn't happen exactly the way I anticipated it, come on, God, I still trust you. There comes a point in our journey of faith where we have to put feet to our faith. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, here's what it says. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust him. As you put your trust in him, he becomes more and more at home in your hearts. And now he shifts to an analogy that I think is important. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand. He didn't say, may you have the power to feel. He said, hey, have the power to understand. Why? Because the beginning of transformation, according to Romans chapter 12, is the renewing of your mind. We got to get it through our thick skulls that God really loves us, even when we don't like certain aspects of living in a broken world. Now, here's what it says. May you understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God. I've been through now hurricanes with Hurricane Michael, and now we're watching the floods that are taking place with Tropical Storm Barry. I've been through tornadoes. I've been through blizzards in Michigan. I feel like I've seen all the seasons of what devastation could take place. But what amazes me more than anything else is that there could be beautiful brick homes that are destroyed. There can be roadways that are completely washed away in floodwaters. And yet, somehow, trees are still standing. We're talking about bricks, brick and mortar. Deep, deep things that are keeping in the foundations of a home, and it all washes away, and yet a tree stands there. Why? Because the roots go down deep. How deep is your faith in God? It's as deep as the last test of your faith. Because that test of your faith is actually, they say, and I'm not a, what did they call it, a horticulturalist? Thank you very much, dictionary. Stirring up the roots sometimes actually makes it grow better in certain situations. When a tree is dying or when something's taking place, oftentimes they'll stir up certain plants. The root system, as it gets stirred, it actually helps it to grow better. And so it is in our life with Christ, and so it is in our faith, helping us to grow. God's love grows deep even when you don't feel like it. And some people feel like, well, I got myself into this mess, I got to get myself out. And they actually feel awkward to go to God about it. But I can just tell you, God wants to clean you up because you can't do it by yourself. God wants to strengthen you when you feel weak. God wants to lift your burden when it gets heavy. Are you following this? But you need to trust him, and he's going to love you through it. Now, let me ask you a question that most of you could probably say no to, but there's at least one couple in this room I know has to say yes to this question, and that is this. Have you ever had a squirrel get loose in your house? How many of you had a squirrel get loose in your house? Oh, there's a couple of you. Okay. Now, Pastors Bart and Lauren decided that instead of getting that squirrel out, they were going to videotape the process. So I want you to turn your attention to the screen for just a moment as we deal with squirrels loose in the house. Go ahead and take a look.
Well, there it is. There it is. Okay, there is a squirrel in our house. A squirrel in our house, y'all. In our house. So Lexi is after the squirrel. Y'all. Lexi's after the squirrel. And this poor squirrel, y'all, is scared to death. He's under our couch. Yo.
Where?
Just went under the
couch.
See
where?
He went under the couch. He went under the couch. Yo, he's right there under the couch.
I'm not moving.
Yo, he doesn't know how to get out of the living room. Bart, just shut the door.
Come here.
Have you ever had a squirrel loose in your house? This just feels like an analogy for life. Now, I noticed you got a broom. Now, before the ASPCA sends us emails and letters presuming that you were trying to kill a squirrel, we all know that you had the greatest intentions to shoo the squirrel out of your house, not to beat it over the head. Can I just explain something to you? That squirrel could see no way out, especially with the dog, sniffing around. No way out. All that squirrel could see is walls and a broom. And apparently it was trying to get out. It just didn't know how to get out. Can I just explain something to you? That broom probably looked like a weapon of mass destruction to that squirrel. But can I explain something to you? That one little element that looked like a weapon of mass destruction was actually intended to bring it to an open door. Can I explain something to you about our God? Sometimes in life, it feels like that there's walls all around us. And we can't find our way out, and the dogs are after us. And hounding your path, problems and issues and crisis, and sometimes it seems to come in waves, and it feels like it's more than you can handle, and you're trying to find the open door. And can I just tell you, those problems can look like a broom. And God has a way of helping sweep us to the open door and even using our problems and our crisis to get us to trust him. If we'll learn how to trust God, even in the difficult moments, God says, if you'll learn how to set your heart on his love, even when the circumstance doesn't go your way, God knows where the open door is. Number two, remind your soul that trust is not an emotion. Trust is not an emotion. Now, the soul, when you hear that word soul, you might think of like a jazz musician. You know, if a jazz musician was really in the pocket, they were really playing, and you could tell they were all about the music, and you'd say, they're feeling the music. Man, they've got soul. Or you might even think about it like Kip and LaFonda from Napoleon Dynamite. I'm 100% positive. LaFonda's my soulmate. You know, however your thought process goes, when you think about a soulmate, what are you really saying? You're saying, we feel like we're together forever. We feel the same way about each other. Can I just tell you, the soul has a lot to do with the way we feel, but you need to understand that it's not really feeling spiritual every day that makes you spiritual. You don't have to even feel spiritual to trust God. Feeling is different than faith, because really faith is an action. No matter how you're feeling, you can still trust God. Jesus was talking to his disciples right before he was about to die on a cross. And he knew that those disciples would feel broken and discouraged and feel like there was no hope. And Jesus, in advance of the problem, and by the way, I just need to let you know, God often sets us up with road signs that will help us along the way, and most of it looks like scripture. Sometimes God will put in your pastor's heart a series on trusting God through life's difficulties, and you didn't even know you needed it until you got there. Now, here's what I'll encourage you with in John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples before he was crucified, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." He was basically saying, decide right now, before all of this looks horrible, before it looks hopeless, trust in me. And I'm going to quickly go through a simple checklist that you can take for yourselves if you begin to feel this urgency of struggle and worry and fear. You need to check maybe your emotions and your physical and your spiritual. Some people think of spiritual things when it's really just a physical thing. I'll give you an example. Well, Pastor, I'm being plagued by demons. I just can't get enough sleep at night. I just can't sleep. I'm being plagued. Well, what time do you go to bed? Well, you know, over the last week, I've stayed up till about 3 a.m. watching movies and playing video games. And I'll tell you, Pastor, it's demons. Okay. What time do you get up for work in the morning? Well, I got to get up at 5 a.m. So you're living off of 2 hours of sleep this whole week. Yeah, it's demons. No, it's sleep time. Put up the video games, put up the computer, put up your cell phone, get off of Facebook, go to bed. Okay, that's a physical, not a spiritual. Are you following that? Okay, now there's so many other ways that we could look at it, but I would say one of the biggest challenges of our lives is when we don't feel like God is there. How many of you have ever been sunburned when there was clouds in the sky? Oh, yeah, okay. I can just tell you. Sometimes this white boy forgets to put on the mask of all of this spray stuff and all of this creams and lotion stuff, because I look outside and there's clouds and I'm like, I'm fine. I'll be out there all day with this bald head. And I can kind of feel, you know, my temperature's starting to rise. I don't know what's going on. I walk in, a day later, I look like a blood blister. And there was clouds in the sky. Friends, even though you don't see the sun, it's still there. And even when you don't feel the sun, it's still there. And even when you're looking for the sun, not S-U-N, but S-O-N, he's still there. Jesus is still there with you. So, We talk about it in the physical. Let's talk about it in the emotional, right? If you just moved here, or you just went through a process of loss, or your child just getting ready to leave for college, or you're going through some change in life, and you say, Pastor, I feel a little sad. It must be a demon. Well, maybe you're just coming to a grips with a new way of life. Maybe you're learning a new normal. If you just had a baby and you're completely sleep deprived, dare I say hormones might possibly be in the works here. I'm just saying, in all things, recognize what's going on in the world around you. Now, finally, we check, of course, the spiritual. We never overlook that because God made us body, soul, and spirit. So let's check that area. I feel far from God. Well, maybe it's because you're not spending any time with Him. You have no devotional life. You haven't talked to God in prayer for weeks. You're not putting Him as a priority in your life, and you feel far from Him because you are far from Him. So you get closer to Him. Trust is not an emotion. Number three, focus your mind. Everybody say your mind. Your mind on things that will last. Don't set your mind on immediate circumstances. When you don't feel like trusting, you got to set your mind on things that are going to last. My mom used to say, and I've repeated it many times, son, in the light of eternity, what does it really matter? It's a good question to ask. It's an appropriate question to ask. In the light of eternity, what does it really matter? God's love and His plan and His promises have not changed. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since you've been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities, everybody say realities, of heaven, where Christ sits at the right hand of God in the place of honor and power. Set your mind on what's real. How many know what you feel sometimes is not real? You think everybody's talking about you at work. The reality is nobody even thinks about you at all at work. You think that somebody cut you off intentionally on the highway. The fact is, reality is, they were on their cell phone and they don't even know you exist. But we get our minds, and I get embarrassed to even think about some of the times that my mind has actually been focused on something and churning on something that's not even reality. It's embarrassing to think about how I've let my mind wander on things that are not right. And sometimes what happens is our mind spirals, keeps going down. It's not all positive thought. Oh, God is good. God is great. This is amazing. Everything's going to work out for my good. Sometimes it's, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, Lord, everybody's talking about me. The world is crumbling. The sky is falling. Chicken Little. I mean, it's quick swirls. And if we let our mind focus on those things, we'll never, ever have what God intends for us to have, to focus our mind on what's right. Now, I can tell you God's plan is better for your life than your plan. I make a vow, I make a promise, no matter how much you want your life to be successful, no matter how great you want your life to be, it will never be as good as putting it in the hands of your Creator who already had a purpose laid out for you. I can tell you, I believe in my heart of hearts that Pop-Tarts are good. Pastor Bart, am I right about this? The man loves Pop-Tarts. Can I just say this, though? There could be something better waiting on you. You're stuffing your face full of these tasty treats when you're missing out on the greatest opportunity to put butter on a Pop-Tart, which is even better. Pastor Bart, I'm telling you, butter on a Pop-Tart, it's better. Now listen, I realize some of you kids, you woke up on a Saturday and you're so excited, you got your Pop-Tarts and maybe even put butter on them. But can I tell you, your parents were going to take you out to IHOP or to Chick-fil-A or to Cracker Barrel. But you stuffed your face with Pop-Tarts because you thought it would be best. God has something better. He always has a better plan. Number four, Pastor Adam, if you come as we prepare to close out. When you are not strong. We've talked about the heart and the mind and the emotions. But this last part of God's picture of the most important command is when we don't feel strong with all of our might, with all of our strength, to trust God. When you're not strong, connect with God and with other believers. You were never meant to face life alone. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says it like this. Two people can resist an attack that would defeat one person alone. A rope made of three cords is hard to break. I'm going to use that as an illustration right here. We've got a couple of different weights, and I've got a line. Matter of fact, just so the line doesn't cut into my fingers, I'll use a little gripper here. But, you know, some of us, we try to lift up on the weight of 10 pounds, and we can't handle it. The rope breaks. It's one. We say, okay, well, maybe I'll just lessen the weight just a little bit. If I take just a little bit off, maybe I'll be okay. And you hold it up for a little while, and before too long, it breaks. You say, okay, I'm going to take my last ditch effort. I got 2 pounds. I got this thing, God. I can do it by myself. And you walk around for a little while, and all of a sudden, before too long, you move too quick. And no matter how much weight you try to take off, it's not enough. But I took that and made that threefold cord, and even 25 pounds can be held with a threefold cord. They couldn't hold two. They couldn't hold 5 or 10. Holds 25. So much so that I'm going to swing this out over you right now into the audience. I'm not going to do that. I trust it. Threefold cord. Not easily broken. The best plan you have for your life is not enough. Doing it by yourself. Some of you are holding on by a strand of faith. Your last strand. You're holding on tight and you think you can make it by yourself, but you can't. Why? Because God never made you to do life alone. That's why He created the church and the body of Christ, so that we could together pray with each other, encourage one another, support one another, challenge one another, pray and strengthen one another. But it's more than a twofold cord, even in a marriage. Husbands, wives, you can't count on your spouse to be Mr. or Mr. Perfect. There's no such thing. I mean, I'm telling my wife that right now, that believe it or not, this guy is not perfect. I know that just shocks you. Just threw her into a tailspin to realize that I'm not perfect. She knows. My family knows. I'm not perfect. And neither are you. So even those times where our friends or our family or those that we feel closest to maybe can let us down, there is a God, that creator of the universe, the creator of you, that made you to love you, and that loved you so much that He said, I'd never leave you and I'll never forsake you. No matter what you're facing or no matter what you're going through, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're on your last strand of hope. God says there's still hope if you trust in Me. If you will wrap your life around My love, I'll carry you the rest of the way. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there may be some in this room. You'd say, Mark, I need to put my whole faith in Him. I've been carrying weight I should not carry. Maybe for some of you, it's a first-time decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. For others of you in this room, it may be you feel so challenged by life circumstances and so broken and hurt by issues and relationships that are broken and struggling. Do you feel like you want to give up? Today, friend, don't give up. Today is a day for you to wrap yourself around God even tighter. Let your roots grow down deep. Where my faith has really grown through the years, if I can look back over my lifetime of 47 years, I can promise you it's the times that I struggled the most that I grew the most. And friends, today you might be in a growing season. We all are in some way. There may be others of you, you've been running from God, not putting your confidence and faith and trust in God, putting your confidence in yourself. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's sin that's separating you from God, and you think to yourself, well, I don't want to get close to God. I need to clean myself up first. You'll never, ever be able to do it by yourself. You need God's strength. He's calling you to lean on Him. And most significantly, what He's asking you to do is trust in the plan. You know what the plan is? Jesus already lived it out before us 2,000 years ago. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came into this earth, God in human flesh, lived a sinless life, then died on a cruel cross to take your sin and mine and pay the penalty for all of our sin so that we could be forgiven. And all he asks of us right now in this moment is to accept by faith his plan of salvation, to truly believe, to become a believer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you'd say, Mark, that's me, pray for me, include me in this prayer. If it was those of you that I already listed in a category, or maybe a category I did not list, but you'd say, Mark, include me in this prayer. Listen, I'm not here to embarrass you. It's not my heart to judge you. I want to simply give you opportunity to make sure that your connection to your Creator is strong and solid and secure in Jesus Christ. And if that's you and you say, Mark, that's me, pray for me. Include me in this prayer. Right now, all over this place, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. That's me, Mark. Yes, God bless you. Yes, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, God bless you. 9, 10, 11, 12 in the balcony, on the main floor, 13, 14. God bless you. Anybody else? That's you today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I want to lead you in a prayer, but I don't want you to pray it just because I'm praying it. I want you to pray it like you mean it with all of your heart. Can you say this with me out loud? Everybody in this room and those watching online, you can pray this as well. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to receive your gift of love for me. Forgive me for my sins. I repent for all I've done wrong. I believe that you died and rose again for me. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. I choose to trust you with all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can you just put your hands together and celebrate those who made a decision for Christ? Come on, man. This is eternity. It's adjusted because of our faith. Friends, it's that free gift of salvation that brings us into right standing with God. As we repent of our sins and reject those sins and live for Him. Now, in the days to come, you're going to have struggles and challenge. I know. But that's called learning to trust God in life's challenges. At the close of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive additional prayer. I know we already had prayer in different various locations in our building and in our sanctuary here. But at the front, we always make these altars open for you. And at the close of the service, we're going to give you that opportunity. Our prayer partners are going to be ready to just watch for you. If you come and kneel at these altars, they're going to watch for you. Those that are maybe joining with us online, you can let us know. You can call us or email us. But we just want to know about your walk of faith. Matter of fact, in those cards in the front of the seat pocket there, it's got a little space there. You can check the box in that connection card letting us know you made a decision for Christ, either a first time or a recommitment. And as a congregation, as specifically as pastors, we pray. And we thank God for each and every one of those that make a decision each week. So grateful to God. And I just want to encourage you that throughout the days to come, that you find connection with God through reading God's word, through prayer, which is simply talking to God like I'm talking to you right now. Right? It doesn't have to be special words. You just talk to Him from your heart. And then, of course, opportunities for witnessing, sharing your faith. As Pastor Michael said, it can be easy. Just simple acts of connection with people, inviting them to church, whatever it might be, or praying with somebody that's walking through a tough time. Sharing your faith is so important in this journey as a believer. It's called the Great Commission, and we're all responsible for it. Now, I want to shift gears for just a moment because, as I mentioned earlier, Pastors Bart and Lauren were so excited about what God has for you and for your family in the days to come. Missouri City is waiting on you. And there are people in Missouri City, Texas, that already are believing God for something great to happen in their city. And the two of you, without having known about the city prior or making that place your home previously, you felt from God that something strategic was happening. And as you partnered with God and said yes to Him, we're believing God for great things. And what we want to do as a church is to help you in that journey. Just like we do as we work with and walk with missionaries, we want to see that come to pass. I know you call this place your home because you've been on staff, but we know you've been around this place for a very long time. Son and daughter of the house in many ways. And so we're excited as spiritual parents that are in this place that helped you grow and mature in your faith. They're excited to be able to partner with you to help see that launch. And in just a few moments, at the very end of the service, we're going to have out in our foyer a reception in your honor. And there's a place for cards, and there'll be some treats, some fun little treats that we'll have. But before that, I'd like to be able to just receive an offering that we could see the hand of God straight from Dothan all the way to Texas. I'd like for our ushers to come, if you would, at this time. I'm going to wait on you as we take a moment and pray over this time of giving. Lord, thank you for Pastors Bart and Lauren, for their amazing children and what they mean to this house, what they mean to you and to the kingdom of God. And so now as we prepare to give to launch them toward the journey of faith that they're on, Lord, they're not going alone. They have a whole church that's going with them in the Spirit, in prayer, and even financially now, to be able to assist them in this walk of faith. God, I thank you for partnership in the kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray it all. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. Ushers, thank you so much for serving us. If you would, please turn your attention toward the screens as we have a special little tribute video for Pastors Bart and Lauren. Go ahead and take a look. Come on, Pastors Bart, Lauren, the kids, can you come on up here? Come on, can we just stand up? Thank God for them as they come. Come on. Pastor Bart, you already said it. It's going to be amazing. Guys, we're so thankful and proud that we get to be on the journey with you. And as a church family, we get to partner with you in this next leg of the journey of faith that you're taking. And even if you don't feel at moments like trusting, God's going to give you the wisdom and the grace to know exactly how to trust him as you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. God's going to give you favor. And for your kids too, that God's going to each moment you don't feel like trusting, God's going to show you a new way to trust him. And their faith will grow down deep in the roots that God is establishing in their faith journey. And we have a couple of gifts for each one of the family.
Happies for the girls and for you guys. And the question was if we were to bring Lincoln in, we were kind of wanting her, but we know that she's in the nursery right now, but we have her a happy. And just proud of you guys and how you are obeying and trusting the Lord. And girls, thank you for how you have given as PKs,
yes,
of your life and serving the Lord yourself, but just being there for mom and dad in this church. And you are very, very loved. And we have been praying already for friends, and God has the friends just waiting for you.
That's right. We want to pray over you, and I'm going to invite our pastors and those of you that are our deacons that are already kind of here and close by. Would you make your way up right now? Come on. Yes, please. And our elders, if you would, our elder couples, come on up. We're just going to gather around as leadership team. Come on in, right here in the center. We'll put you right in the middle. And you don't have to take these with you out the door, because we'll make sure that they get where they're supposed to go. But we just have a special opportunity to pray over you and to believe God with you, that this is not the end, but the beginning of something great. Pastor Bart, before I pray, as they're coming, is there maybe one sentence, one phrase that you can think of in all of the things that you might think of in ministry that you might be able to share with the congregation before we pray?
One sentence. Don't settle for mediocrity.
Yes.
Because he has called you for greatness. Don't settle. Yeah.
There we go. Let's pray together as a congregation. If you stretch out your hands toward this couple. Lord, as we partner together to see the work of the ministry established in other places than Dothan, Lord, this new work that's being established will require faith and trust, but they have that. Lord, beyond talent and ability, they have faith. Beyond established education and training, they have faith. Beyond even love for the Lord, they have faith. Beyond the calling that they sense in their hearts, they have faith. So God, we speak over them the faith that it requires. And Lord, we place a demand on the anointing that's inside of them to do the work of the ministry in Missouri City, Texas. And in advance, we call forth what will be established and will take root and will grow deep. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your hearts and declare, "You're my children. No one can take you out of my hand." And may you know the strategic hand of God and hear the strategic voice of God as he whispers to you, beckoning you to do what he's called you to do. And in all ways, don't ever settle for mediocrity when God has greatness in front of you. I release you to greatness in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, here's how I felt like we could end today, since they're a family that's going to have a reception. If we keep you up here, there's no way you'll get to your own reception. So why don't you do this for us? One more time, we're going to give you a huge standing ovation. But I want you to walk down that center aisle and right out that back and feel the love from this congregation as we send you toward that destiny. So you and the kids, would you just walk down the aisle? Can we give it up as they go? We love you. Come on. Yeah. We love you. Proud of you. Excited about what God has in store. Well, friends, that prayer of blessing that's on them, that prayer blessing is on you today, and we release you to your destiny as you do what God's called you to do. On your way out today, we'll have a special place for them to be stationed, so you can take a little picture with them if you want. You can give them a card if you want, but ultimately, we just want them to know they're loved today, and we want to meet those that are joining with us for the very first time. If you're a first-time guest, we'll be out in our foyer in just a few minutes near our Connection Cafe, ready to greet you and give you a gift. God bless you. We love you. Have a Jesus-filled week. We'll see you either Wednesday or next Sunday. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. Stay connected with us at dothan1st.org or follow us on social media at dothan1st. Also, if you're in the Dothan area, we would love to have you join us this Sunday at 10 a.m.